It is more important to know what the Reformation retained than what it overthrew.
Dr. Larry Rast, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Charles Porterfield Croft made that statement back in the 1800s, but it remains true for us today. The church's job is to confess faithfully, and simply to overthrow error does not establish truth. What we are about is confessing biblical truth. And what this conference promises to do is to help us recover that for an age that desperately needs to hear that truth.
You can meet and hear Dr. Larry Rast making the case for the conservative Reformation June 10th and 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Westminster Abbey Choir singing Psalm 67. There are 150 psalms, you know. They range in topic and author and in a lot of ways subject. Some of them are short, some of them are long, some of them had a very particular use, some of them were very ancient, some of them were written at the time of David. They're all over the place. Is there a unifying way, a, let's just call it a Christ-centered, cross-focused way of looking at this very diverse set of Old Testament hymns, the Psalms? So what about that psalm, Psalm 67, the way to be made known, the salvation to be made known, and all of that we hear in there? How do we find Christ in the Psalms and in Psalm 67? That's our perpetual subject with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Our series with him, Christ in the Old Testament, we'll be talking about Psalm 67. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Todd.
Before we get into the particulars of this psalm, if you would, give us kind of the Cliff Notes version, the basic primer on how to read the Psalms to find Christ.
Yeah, very good. That's actually an excellent starting point. And we find this after the resurrection. You see this in Luke chapter 24, where Christ, who was crucified, is now raised from the dead, and he is instructing the apostles as he's about to send them out. And he says to the apostles that these are the words that I've spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So here's where Jesus unpacks this understanding, that in the Psalms, we are to see where it is written that the Christ is going to suffer, that the Christ will rise again from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is preached and proclaimed, especially, as we're going to talk about today, to the Gentiles, to the nations, and they will be converted to the faith. And that's where Jesus kind of begins us with this whole understanding that the Christ, is talked about in the Psalms. Now, when you open up the book of Psalms, the whole Psalter starts with Psalm 1, in which you have, blessed is the man, well, Jesus is the man. He is the true man. He's the second Adam, the one in which we are blessed, for all who are in him are blessed. And in fact, as you go from Psalm 1 into Psalm 2, immediately you understand that it's the Christ, he's the king, he's the Son of God, and Psalm 2 ends on the note, and blessed are all who take refuge in him. So just in those very first two psalms, it kind of sets the tone for the entire Psalter that we're talking about the man, the Christ, the King, the Son of God, and all who are in him are blessed.
So let's start with Christ as the way to be made known, that your way may be known on earth.
Now, when we look at Psalm 67, we're going to start off with some very easy, obvious points here. And when you're talking about the way, Yahweh's way, the way of God that is going to be known on earth. We'll get to earth later on, but right now the emphasis is this way, the way that we are waiting for, God's way. You know, in Isaiah chapter 40, you have the voice in the wilderness preparing for the way, and the way comes. Well, Jesus himself makes it very clear in John 14 that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So this emphasis of the way, this is the way to the Father, that in the Son alone do we have access to the Father. Apart from the Son, we cannot approach the Father. So this is the way that is to be made known to all people. It'll start in Jerusalem, and it will go to the ends of the earth.
Christ as the salvation to be made known, and this is that your salvation may be known among all nations.
So again, we have the emphasis that the salvation that God himself is preparing, that he is the Savior. This is very clear what we mean by salvation from what. And you see this in the very next psalm, Psalm 68, which will go into details, and it'll say our God is a God of salvation, that he would bring deliverance from death. This is the kind of Savior they were looking for, one who is going to save us from death. And immediately we understand that this is universal. This is a good news to be heard by all, that alone in God do we have salvation. And, of course, Jesus himself is the one who saves. That's what his name means. Jesus, he will save his people from his sins. He's God's salvation. He's Yahweh's salvation. And we've been waiting for this ever since the book of Genesis chapter 49, when we were taught to wait for Yahweh's salvation. And we've been waiting, and we hear the prophets saying he's coming, and the salvation is about here. And by the time you get to Isaiah 63, it's, behold, Yahweh has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Same kind of connotation as we have in Psalm 67. And you're to start by saying to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Now, of course, that whole song begins on Palm Sunday, in which the king himself enters into Jerusalem. This is the salvation we've been waiting for. This is the king. He's bringing his kingdom. It will go from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Well, already in Luke's gospel, right at the very beginning, when we know that the child's going to be named Jesus and Jesus is taken to the temple, well, right there we have Simeon. And Simeon has been waiting for the salvation of Yahweh. And he finally, in that song, the song of Simeon, he picks up the Christ child and he rejoices and says now he's ready to depart in peace because his eyes has seen Yahweh's salvation. He's seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all peoples. And then specifically, Simeon will say, and a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. So again, the salvation that we've been waiting for is a universal salvation. He is the Savior of the nations. He comes from the Jews, but he will go out to the ends of the earth.
So let's talk a little bit about, you say, the mystery of the Holy Trinity, and many people might think, well, you're not going to find the Holy Trinity in the Old Testament, much less in the Psalms, but the verses that you want to look at are, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. That's verse 1 already. And then God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Verses 6 and 7. What do you find there of the Trinity?
Well, this is an important understanding of this whole passage. You have verse 1, kind of it opens up, and verse 7 where it closes. And the emphasis here is on God himself blessing us. And that blessing that God spoke, well, initially that blessing was spoke in the beginning, when God blesses Adam and Eve, he gives to them that blessing that they would be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. But God is the one who blesses. He's the one who's blessed from the beginning. But this is the triune God who's done this. This is not a different God. There's only one true God. And that blessing from the beginning, God who created all things, he gives this blessing down through the ages, and we'll kind of track that blessing, but specifically, in Numbers chapter 6, you have that blessing that is given to Aaron and his sons. The blessing that is going to be at the temple, at the tabernacle, the place where the altar of God is, where the Ark of the Covenant is located. And it's in that blessing in which Aaron and his sons will put the name of God upon the people. And that's that benediction where they say, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, this is the trifold use of the divine name. So three times you're invoking the name of Yahweh, and this is how that name is to be put upon the people. Well, here in Psalm 67, you begin by using that same phraseology, that may God be gracious to us, that he would bless us, and that he would make his face to shine upon us. This goes back to the blessing that Aaron and his sons would give to the people of God, in which the name would be placed upon them. Well, again, we have this in the New Testament, in Holy Baptism specifically, in which we are told to make disciples of all nations. So this extends from Israel all throughout the Gentiles, that you make disciples of all nations by placing the name upon them, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is where we have this understanding of this blessing, that God blesses us, this trifold blessing. It's the Holy Trinity. And when you look at the end of the psalm, it comes back to this testifying to the three persons of the Holy Trinity, where you have the name of God, specifically here Elohim, is used three times in a trifold way, just like in the blessing of Aaron, where you say Yahweh three times. Well, here at the end, you say, God, our God shall bless us, God shall bless us. So that when you look in the Old Testament and you see places where God's name or his title is used three times in a row, a trifold blessing, we're talking about the Trinity, the triune God. Now, he's the one that's going to bless the people. He's the one who blessed the people in the beginning, giving them this blessing of life and duplication, that they would be fruitful and they'd multiply upon the earth. And of course, that was all before sin. But ever since sin came in, God would continue to give blessing to his people on earth, and in a unique way to the Levitical sacrificial system, in which the Levitical priest would bless the people of God so that in turn they could be a blessing to the nations. So the result of God blessing the righteous remnant of Israel with his presence is that the whole earth then would likewise be blessed, so that the light of God would shine upon his people, Israel, and then that light would be reflected to the ends of the earth.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about seeing Christ in, well, we've talked about this many times with Pastor Ketchelmeyer, in the conversion of the Gentiles. We'll also talk about the nations of the earth as well. Looking at Psalm 67 in our series, Christ in the Old Testament, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, a host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to that, by the way, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $100 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc. write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and to receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
You can support the boys' basketball program at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, by entering a team into our annual Golf Scramble fundraiser. It's Saturday, May 28th at Oakbrook Golf Course in Edwardsville. Hi, this is Anthony Smith, head boys' basketball coach at Metro East Lutheran High School. Join me and fellow Knights for a Golf Scramble, May 28th at Oakbrook Golf Course. For more information, send me an email, anthony.smith@melhs.org. Thanks for your support.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, our weekly series with him, Christ in the Old Testament. We're looking today at Psalm 67. Let's talk a little bit about the conversion of the Gentiles. This is a constant theme in the Old Testament, and it is a constant theme in the Psalms as well. When we hear these terms like nations, your ways made known on the earth or among the nations, we should be hearing not just Israel, but also the Gentiles too, shouldn't we?
Most assuredly.
So what do we find in this psalm on that subject?
Well, what we find here is we find kind of a bunch of words that are being used synonymously, interchangeably. You'll have peoples, you'll have nations, you'll have earth. That this is going to expand beyond the location of geographical, physical Israel in the land of Canaan, that this will go out to the ends of the earth. And that's the understanding here of the Gentiles, that we go back to Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, but everything went wrong, and everything went astray. So you're going to kind of progress here, and we're going to look at peoples, we're going to look at nations, and we're going to take it back to the earth. But at this time, I'd like to just have that opportunity just to kind of understand why we're always talking about the conversion of the Gentiles and Christ's kingdom is something that's unique and important to understand Christ in the Old Testament. But this goes back to this understanding of peoples and nations and going all the way back to the beginning with the earth, that we understand here that God created all things and He blessed Adam and Eve. He created mankind in His own image, but then they fell into sin and they lost the image of God. And then this, from that point, This is where we split up into peoples. We split up into nations. We split up into different kinds of tongues and tribes, and we scatter throughout the entire earth. So this conversion of the Gentiles is bringing and gathering everybody that's been scattered back into one fold, into one people, so that when we're talking about the conversion of the Gentiles in particular, we're understanding, number one, that the truth of justification through faith alone. When you want to understand how is somebody justified and declared righteous before God, in God's sight, well, it's not by a self-chosen method of holiness, but instead it's God himself who declares righteous, and then it's received by faith. And you don't have a clearer picture than the Gentiles, who don't even have the ritual laws of the Old Testament, because nobody is going to be justified by the works of the law. So when the nations are converted, and by faith they are brought into the people of God and justified, that this shows that significance there of this justification. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And when you do this, the nations who had been deceived in darkness, and they had been oppressed by the devil, had fallen into all kinds of idolatry. And idolatry is this false worship, where you cling to the fallen creation rather than the Creator. So no longer will the Gentiles be deceived into this false worship, a false approach to God. And so throughout the Old Testament, you have this understanding when Christ's kingdom comes, that it does away with idolatry. The idolatry is most clearly seen, of course, in the nations. I mean, it's just paganism is run rampant in the nations because they don't have the light of God's word. And so all of this will finally result in the restoration of the corrupted human nature that lost the image of the Son of God, so that we are being restored when we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this renewal that the Holy Spirit is working in us is that we would have no sin and no death, and we would be this new creation in Christ. And that's this whole picture of this conversion of the Gentiles is showing to us this new heavens and this new earth. But then we want to look at this in this psalm. We want to look at, in particular, peoples and nations and earth, and kind of focus on each one of those.
Okay, so let's look at peoples. Where do we go in the Old Testament, kind of get our bearings on what Psalm 67 is saying when it uses that term?
And when we read through this psalm, you have these phrases like, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. This is this plural, that you will judge the peoples with equity. Let the peoples praise you, O God, and let all the peoples praise you. You got this rhetorical, or not this rhetorical, but this repetition, I should say, not a rhetorical, but a repetition of this litany that they're going to praise you too. Well, when we look back in Genesis, and we try to find the first place where this word comes up, this word Am for people, or in particular, the plural of Amim. You see, the first time that this will come up is in Genesis chapter 11. And it's at Genesis chapter 11 where Moses will note that they were one people. Well, what was going on in Genesis chapter 11 is, of course, the Tower of Babel. This is where Yahweh said, and he looks at him and says, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, because nothing that they propose to do will be impossible for them now. And so this is where Yahweh scatters them, and he confuses the language, and they become this multitude of peoples in the plural. Now they've been dispersed throughout the earth, and they are different peoples. And that's where we want to start in Genesis, that now you have the peoples in the plural that have been scattered throughout the earth. But in the midst of this, God is continuing to bless his people. And his people in particular will go from Adam, will go to Noah, will go to Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 17, this is where God is speaking to Abraham, and he's telling him about Sarai, his wife, and he says, you shall no longer call her Sarai, but call her Sarah, because I will bless her. Again, this is that importance of God blessing. And moreover, I will give you a son by her, and I will bless her, and she will become a nations and kings of peoples. in the plural, shall come from her. So the peoples that have been scattered are now going to be gathered, and they'll be gathered in the seed. And later on, as you track through Genesis, when this blessing and the promise of the seed that's going to crush the serpent's head and will restore humanity is now about given to Jacob, where Isaac is going to bless Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, in which he says, God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. And so we back in Genesis 11, you had the one people that were scattered, and so they're dispersed, but now you're going to have this new people of God, and there's going to be this blessing of being fruitful and multiplying, of having life and duplication, that the peoples will be God's people, and the peoples will be joined together and back into one people of God.
We'll take a break when we come back. We're going to spend a little more time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, finding Christ in the Old Testament. We'll turn to the two other terms that talk about the conversion of the Gentiles, finding Christ there in Psalm 67, nations and the earth. When we come back, we'll conclude our conversation with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. He is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Now, we're talking about the conversion of the Gentiles there in Psalm 67, finding Christ in the Old Testament. We did peoples. You kind of walked us through the early part of that term. What about nations?
Yeah, this word nation, again, we want to look back into Genesis, the first book of Moses, and see where was the first time that Moses is going to give us this word, and what's it tied to? Well, it's actually in the chapter before Genesis 11, chapter 10, in which you have the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They have the sons and their descendants make up all the nations. So that's where we first have this understanding of the nations, is now we're all related back to Noah and his family. And now when you track from Genesis 10, you go to Genesis chapter 12, where now this word is going to be used for Abraham, because he's taken out out. He's separated from the rest, and God gives him that blessing, the promise of the seed, and he says that I'm going to make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And as you keep tracking in Genesis 18, once again, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And later on in Genesis chapter 22, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in the seed, this promised seed of Abraham, because we're tracking from the beginning that the promise of the seed of the virgin is going to crush the serpent's head. And this is the one who is going to restore fallen humanity and bring back all of these peoples that have been scattered throughout the earth, all these nations that have been just dispersed all over the place.
And then we have, after nations, the earth, that your way may be known on earth. The earth has yielded its increase. Let all the ends of the earth fear him, from Psalm 67.
So this going back to the earth, especially when you use language of the earth has yielded its increase, that God has given this growth from the earth, that's the understanding of this life, going back to the original creation, going back to the garden. And of course, that has implications of Leviticus chapter 26, so that if the people listen to God's word, then the earth is going to yield its increase. But if the people do not listen to God's voice, then the earth will not yield its increase. And so that's what you have in the Old Testament. But that points to the picture of the New Testament and the new creation, when the earth will yield its increase, and this earth is going to be restored. Well, where's the first time of the earth? We know Genesis chapter 1 is the first time that is discussed, that God created the heavens and the earth. Well, as you follow in Genesis, you get to Genesis chapter 6, and this, of course, is right before the flood and the problem that we have with the fallen humanity, that in Genesis chapter 6, it's at this point, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. And at this point, you have a theological connection between earth and the flesh that is upon the earth. So as the human nature is corrupted, it directly impacts the earth. Humanity, of course, is brought from the earth, brought from the ground, brought and formed from this dust, and of course goes back into the earth where there's death. But that's the problem, is this earth is now filled with this whole corruption. The promise throughout the Old Testament is that this seed, the one who is going to be the son of Abraham, the son of David, he's going to restore all things. And by the time we get to Isaiah, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, this is that promise. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall be remembered no more. All that's in the past. And when you're following in Isaiah chapter 60, he'll use this imagery that's related to this recreation, going back to the original creation. So that in chapter 60, you have, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but Yahweh will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nation shall come to your light. And this is directly related to what we're talking about in Psalm 67, which is a meditation, a contemplation on these promises of Christ. The light that was in the beginning, the light who comes in the flesh, and he brings this light in the midst of this darkness. And that's that promise of the blessing, that God will bless. God will shine his light, and where he gives the blessing and the light, there is life. And when the people of God have the promise, first the light will come upon them, and then this light will be reflected so that the nations will be drawn to them and walk in the light with them. So that we all can rest assured in the promise that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, and the old has passed away and the new has come. Or like in Ephesians chapter 1, where we have this assurance that in Christ we are blessed, for the Father has blessed us in Christ. And he has, in Ephesians chapter 1, he goes on to say, that he's uniting all things in him, things that are in heaven and things that are on earth.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thank you.
Oh, great to be here, Todd.
Folks, we are getting very close to 300 registrations for the fourth annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, and attendance is limited this year to 400 total. Speakers include Pastor Will Whedon, Dr. Larry Rast, Adrian Dorheinz, Pastor Chris Roseborough, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, Dr. Carl Fekencher, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. You can find out more about the conference and you can register at issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference this summer, Friday, June the 10th and Saturday, June 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. Register at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on Christianity and Logic. Dr. Gregory Scholes will be our guest. We'll also get a biography of Athanasius with Dr. Joel Olowski. And it's Friday tomorrow, so we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.